Welcome to Radio Today broadcasting in Johannesburg on 1485 AM and nationally on DSTV Audio, channel 869.
Want to know what to eat, where to go and who to know in Johannesburg and all around? Then join us on Soundbites every Saturday, brought to you by the Food Cops on Radio Today. Good afternoon, South Africa, and welcome to Soundbites with myself, Edward Chamberlain Bell. I've got to think about that for a second as well. There's so many things happening in Johannesburg that are really going to appeal to all of our foodie lovers. And I think before we kick off for spring and trying to get into shape for summer, let's do as much damage as possible, because we've got the Good Food and Wine Show coming up this weekend at the Coca-Cola Dome. If you didn't get tickets off my Facebook page, Edward Chamberlain Bell, it's not too late to go and have a look there very quickly. You might be lucky. And then don't forget, next weekend we've got Taste of Joburg running between the 26th to the 29th of September at Monte Cassino. And you can also get tickets for those on my blog, soundbites.chamberlainbell.com. Anyhow, enough about the things that we can do. Let's talk about the things that we have been doing. I want to welcome Tony Barnett from Sarsaparilla to the show. Welcome, Tony.
Hi, Edward.
Now, you're quite...
Hi, listeners.
I was going to say you're a man who wears many hats, and I suppose being a chef, it goes without reason that you would at least have one or two hats. Between having your own restaurant, you've also started a couple of pop-up restaurants, and I went to the one that you hosted... I think it was last month sometime, which was, and your pop-up restaurant is called Taste.
Toast?
I've got that on my brain now. Toast.
Toast, yeah.
Good food here. Tell me, pop-up restaurants become such a trend at the moment. What made you decide that you wanted to get involved in pop-up restaurants when you already have your own established restaurant?
Well, I think the business that we run Monday to Friday is a corporate-based business. So myself and my friend Rion, based in our sort of desire for good food and good entertainment, we sort of have had this dream for quite some time to create something that is born out of passion. It's born out of a passion for cooking, and it's born out of a passion for eating. So we decided that we would sort of start with a supper club, and we used to run it out of my home, and we used to invite friends over, and it's just sort of organically grown into a slightly larger production these days. And we host things monthly. We called it Toast because toast is a celebration of food, and it's also something that just pops up randomly. So that's sort of the feeling behind the idea. We started with a chef table, which we host in Sandton, and that's been very, very successful. You have been to one of those, and I assume that you enjoyed it. You said you did.
I did enjoy it. I wouldn't have you here if I didn't enjoy it.
Good thing.
Or you could do a Jerry Springer show on the show very quickly and start trashing everything.
No, for sure. But yeah, so our next main event is happening in Pretoria on the 6th of October. It's called Die Plaas Tafel, and it'll be a one long, 120-seater long table, you know, serving up a five-course meal over a lovely Sunday lunch afternoon, and it promises to be great fun.
And it's called Plaas Tafel, so what kind of food are you going to be serving?
We are starting with sort of traditional, good, wholesome farm food. We're starting with goat's cheese, which we're getting from Bel Nori Goat Estate. We're going to do a goat's cheese and tomato tart. The main course, without giving too much away, is going to be a study in chicken. So we're going to do chicken three different ways. There might be a little bit of a chicken pie and a stuffed chicken breast. And, you know, there's lots of ingredients. You know, our byline for toast itself is, you know, the freshest ingredients and finest results.
Oh, nice.
So
one.
We like to take fresh organic stuff. We scour the markets to find local suppliers who are producing really amazing produce. And then we try not to do too much to them, just to enhance and make them better.
Actually, the one thing that I really enjoyed when I went to Toasting Sandton is how simple everything was. You really kept things as best, and I'm going to overuse that word organic, but you kept everything as organic as possible, so you knew exactly what you were eating. It wasn't like this fussy gourmet food where everything has been like over processed, but at the same time, your combinations, your presentation, also your garnishes, I thought were really exquisite. So it was really an interesting experience. I wouldn't say, just coming back to toast that you had in Johannesburg, the menu that I saw that I signed up for said a five-course meal.
Yes.
But when we got there, you had 11 courses. So excuse my lack of etiquette. How do you define, or your poor mathematical judgment, how does a five-course meal spread into 11?
Well, a course is something that involves more than one bite. So if it's just an amuse-bouche, which is a palate revival or awakens. To awaken, it doesn't sort of tend to me to be a course. It's something to wake up the mouth and prepare you for what's coming. Sorbet, which is a palate cleanser in between, is not really a course. It's
The sorbet was the 12th thing on your menu because I was counting everything.
I've forgotten how many there were.
No, trust me, I don't.
No, I think I tend to get into the kitchen and I'm an overachiever. I just keep making and making and making. But I think, you know, for us, it really is about the passion for food. It's about enjoying it. It's about celebrating the food, the wine, the company, and everything that you can in a great environment.
The one thing that I found interesting, because we often talk about pop-up restaurants as being people who don't necessarily have the time or the resources or necessarily the confidence to go into setting up a pop-up restaurant. So when you guys started doing it, I thought, that's actually an extension of your creativity that allows you to do something different. And I noticed with your pop-ups, you always seem to be having different themes. So I'm actually curious to know, when you have the Plastafel, is that going to be along a similar sort of theme, or is it really going to be a lot more homely, for want of a better word?
Well, I think, in essence, because Toast is all about good food here, the tone and the idea behind each individual event will be food-based.
Mm.
So the event that we're planning next, that's sort of in the pipeline, is something called an urban table. That would be sort of Johannesburg-based, and that would be sort of a much more racy, fast-paced kind of food. It wouldn't be sort of organic chicken pies and tomato tarts that you'd find at the Plastafel. For us, the event will always pretty much be the same kind of setup. It will be lush and plush and fancy and really enjoyable, but where the true sort of excitement comes is in the food.
Exactly. And I noticed that there's a strong focus on the food as well, as opposed to all the peripherals and things that happens around it. But now I'm thinking, where do you find your creativity? Were you jumping from the fine dining we had at the last time to Plastafel to urban dining? I mean, those are all three very diverse sort of menus that you'd be catering for.
It's, you know, I've been a chef for 20 years now, and I think that I've picked up a lot of passion and ideas in the 20 years in my travels in the various establishments that I've worked in. So for me, it's almost fun to create something new. And I think that if we are targeting a very specific segment of the market, and I think that we would have a tremendous amount of return business. And I think in order to keep our clients and our clientele very excited and sort of in anticipation for the next event would be to really and truly imagine about what's coming next.
Actually, I would almost imagine that you'd be targeting different segments of the foodie public in terms of what you're serving towards them, but I suppose as it also expands our horizons to go and try something different. That is the one thing that I noticed that the last Toast that I went to, and I've got Taste stuck in my mind, so if I do use Taste, just excuse me and correct me, you're more than welcome to.
Not the Taste of Joburg.
Not the Taste, well, that's what I've been marketing the last month, so I've got, sure, got it stuck in my mind. Next month when I'm doing sex, but I'm really going to be talking about sex all the time. The one thing that I noticed is, like, a lot of times you go to these fine dining experiences and they give these minuscule little portions that really do look very pretty. They're like confectionery. Everything looks gorgeous, but when you leave, you stop off at McDonald's to pick up something more substantial. And in fact, you're not even discerning. You just think, anything that has got food in a plate, I will eat. And when I told my partner, I said, don't worry, I said, they're not going to be big meals. There'll be lots of, like, little meals and lots of little tastes. I swear, by the fourth course, I don't think that we knew how much further we could actually manage, because your portions are not generous in that you feel overwhelmed, but they're not minuscule in the fact that you feel deprived either. Just sort of a perfect balance. So that was joking just now where I said it's almost like going through 11 courses. They're already 11 bite-sized pieces, but you actually leave feeling satisfied. And the big thing that I found is, I know a lot of times chefs like to throw something quirky into the mix, and I thought all your food is very accessible, but you put different spins on it. I love that cauliflower soup. There was something that you did with the cauliflower soup that was awesome. And the one thing that I really enjoyed at the very end was when you had the cheese platter. That I found pushed people out of their comfort zones, because you used a very eccentric collection of cheeses. And I like strong cheeses. I love blue cheeses as well. And even I found, I was looking at a couple of other people, and I thought, well, this is what you come to taste for, is to experience something new and to experience something different. So I imagine people are going to get all of that again when they come to Plastafel and also urban dining.
No, I definitely think that they will. I think it's, for me, it's about exploring South African ingredients. It's about doing the best that we can with what we have available. And I don't want my diners to walk away feeling that they wish they'd had more.
You know, although I'd imagine
I think that I've often been to tasting menus and I've sort of had something and I thought, that was an amazing experience, but I really would have liked like one more bite of that.
Mm.
You know, and I think that that is how we've put the menus together, to say, well, you know, come and enjoy everything that you can, but, you know, come hungry.
But you, exactly, come hungry, because you are going to be needing your appetite when you go there. Tell me, if people want to get hold of you, what are your website details and your Facebook details?
Our website is www.toastgfh.co.za, and we have the same tagline on Facebook.
Toast GFH. And what I'll do for all of our listeners, I will share all of those details onto Facebook, Edward Chamberlain Bell, and I'll share it on my blog, soundbites.chamberlainbell.com.
But Edward, if listeners would like to win some available tickets to the Plaastafel, which is at Ludwig's Roses in Pretoria, they should check out your blog, because we have 4 tickets available to the Radio Today listeners.
Oh. Slight error there. We've got 2 tickets available to our listeners, because 2 tickets might just disappear. Actually, Tony, thank you. Thank you. That was very generous. What we are going to do, if listeners want to get hold of those tickets, go into my blog, soundbites.chamberlainbell.com, or connect with me on Facebook, Edward Chamberlain Bell. We'll give you all those details there. And that also includes alcohol. I think that's the best part.
Yes, the lunch, all our pop-up restaurants will include mineral water and wine. For this particular event, the Plaastafel, we have partners with Zandvliet Wines. So we'll have an amazing selection of red and white Zandvliet wines that will be included in your price per head.
And they're actually very nice wines as well. Sorry, that didn't come out right, but I said the best thing was the alcohol.
It's not a bad accompaniment.
It's a good selling point. If people don't want to go out all the way to Pretoria for the Plaastafel, when is the next Johannesburg event happening?
We are aiming for the 19th of October. It would be in Carmel. Details will be released on, and menu will be released on our Facebook page. So people should just like the page, or they can alternatively just send us an email to host@toastgfh.co.za, and we can email them all the particulars and information.
And actually, just one last thing for our listeners to bear in mind. It's certainly worthwhile following up with Toast GFH on Facebook, because they publish the most gorgeous pictures. And honestly, it's not just a question of having gorgeous pictures, but those pictures really do represent the kind of food that you're going to be enjoying. But, and I know I say this all the time ad nauseum, if you get lost, go into soundbites.chamberlainbell.com or join me on Facebook, Edward Chamberlain Bell, and I will share all of those details there. Tony, I want to thank you so much for joining us, also for your 2 generous prizes, and hopefully we have you on the show again soon.
Thank you, Edward. It's been great.
Pick n Pay has summer savings on groceries. Get 750-gram Kellogg's Corn Flakes for only $27.99. 2.5 kg of PNP White Sugar is $21.49. 2-litre Brooks Oros Original Squash is $20.99. Pampers New Baby Value Pack Mini 72s, Active Baby Value Pack Midi 58s, Maxi 50s plus 48s, XL 40s or Junior 44s are only R119. And buy 2 Vaseline 400ml lotions excluding Even Tone for $26.99 each and get the 3rd one free. And you can save even more. Visit the kiosk and print your Smart Shopper vouchers. Only at Pick n Pay, always there for you. Prices valid 19th to the 22nd of September, and prices apply to Gauteng stores.
Hello, I'm Neil Starr. Please tune in to That Gramophone Show on Sundays at 7 p.m. for some real music nostalgia, when I'll be taking you on a trip down memory lane with music sourced exclusively off 78-speed shellac records. My music will cover anything from 1910 to the late 1950s. Remember, it's That Gramophone Show on Sundays at 7 p.m. with me, your host, Neil Starr.
Hello from Pieter Dirkhuis. If you're listening to me, then you're lucky enough to be listening to Radio Today. Don't go anywhere. Stay with Radio Today. Radio Today. Radio that delivers.
And welcome back to Soundbites. And that was Toast, good food here, that was chatting to us about their pop-up restaurants. Highly recommended and really worthwhile looking up online. And from Toast, we are moving on to Taste of Joburg with Justine Drake. Justine, welcome to the show, and it's so great to have you on a second time.
Thanks, it's lovely to be here.
I know it is, isn't it? I always want to call. There are so many food expos coming up at the moment, and I always find the best thing about it is that you get to taste new things that are coming up from different restaurants. Mm. And I noticed that with Taste. Oh, I'm going to get those names mixed up now.
That's all right, darling. I'll correct you as you go.
You're welcome to correct me, please. Taste of Joburg have got 12 of the best restaurants that are going to be exhibiting and presenting their food, including a couple of their signature dishes. Mm-hmm. But what I love about it is that they're all presenting starter-sized portions. So it's not a question that you've got to choose which one you want to go to. You can go to all of them, buy a couple of bite-sized portions, and you get to taste and experience everything that is the best of Joburg. And then this is what I was mentioning to some friends of mine a while ago. It's not about just going to the event on the day, but it helps you to plan your calendar for the rest of the year in terms of which restaurants you want to go.
Exactly, because you know, in this day and age, let's be honest, you can't rush out to as many restaurants as you once did.
No.
You want to be a little more certain that you're going to sort of enjoy the experience or enjoy the food or whatever it is. And this kind of like, it's like a great big recce. You can think, well, you know, that's nice, but I don't want to really spend my hard-earned cash for a whole meal there or whatever. Or, oh my God, I'm rushing off immediately. Or, yeah, this is great, but it's for a special occasion because it's a bit costly. Or whatever it is. So it is like a great big recce with lots of fun and sort of laughter and music and booze in between. How wrong can you go?
No, exactly. It's perfect. And I think it's almost like a little tester. And you're not going to necessarily enjoy every single restaurant, but this helps streamline the process that you can cherry pick which restaurant you really do want to go and invest. And not just your time, but not just your money, but also your time, because I think time is such a precious commodity nowadays.
No, isn't it just?
Yeah. Tell me, what are you most excited about Taste of Joburg, especially being a Cape Town girl?
The sunshine, because Lord knows our weather's appalling down here. Well, you know, I think the thing about Taste is it gets sort of bigger and better, and this is not just PR speak, it really does every year. You know, as it grows, as there's more visitors, more exhibitors, everyone's more excited. So, that's a good start, but what we do have this year is the craft revolution included in this, which is this a beer and artisanal spirit sort of experience.
Mm.
And there are just, I mean, there are loads and loads of all these beautiful new craft beers, and also some stunning, you know, artisanal spirits are sort of the new route. You now sort of sip tequila and sip gin rather than knock it back or put it even with a mixer. Or so it goes overseas, and this is a new trend that's come out. Because people are making such fine spirits with beautiful ingredients, and it's not that cheap and cheerful stuff. It's really beautiful, high quality. So there's stunning spirits and stunning beer in the craft revolution area, and I'm loving that idea.
I think that's awesome. And I thought about it, instead of just pairing it with wines, which is like, I don't want to say so yesterday, but it's been done to death. But
yeah.
I think having the craft and the artisanal distillers out there is going to might just push people out of their comfort zones. Because I'm not a beer drinker myself, so I thought, well, just go with an open mind and see what is coming from these restaurants. They wouldn't be serving beer unless it was actually appropriate for the dishes. And this is what I think is so interesting, is you get to broaden your horizons and it pushes you into something
exactly.
New and different.
You know, I'm not a beer drinker either, but I have, in the last sort of 2 years, I have been, I've been to a couple of beer and food tastings, and it has really opened my mind to, well, just because it was paired with food, it didn't seem so overwhelming. And I really got to, I wouldn't say I'm knocking beer back at a great pace. I'm still sort of
I wouldn't
wide.
Say that either.
But I mean, I do actually enjoy it a whole lot more and sort of finding some nuances and knowing that it pairs better with some food than wine ever could. And it's, yeah, and I must say these craft beers, there are some absolutely delicious ones out there.
I was chatting to somebody a while ago, and I can't remember their name, so I'm not going to try and embarrass myself by getting it wrong, but they basically distill their own vodka. Normally I just think of vodka as being a very wonderful window cleaner, and you just throw it back because it's more the effect. But what he did was he just explained how by using different ingredients you get different nuances coming through, which I said I've never noticed in other commercial vodkas. But
yeah, is it not primitive vodka from Jorgensen's distillery?
Yes, that's exactly who I was thinking
Roger.
Of.
Roger. They make the most divine booze. I mean, their gin is to faint for, and they make divine vodka, and they make absinthe, and they make limoncello.
We bumped into them at one of the previous exhibitions, and we literally stocked up. And unfortunately, this is a sad indictment on me, nothing lasted very long because it was all so good.
I know the feeling, darling, but never mind. At least you had it to enjoy. Now you can stock up again.
Exactly. Something to look forward to. And now when I'm looking at Taste of Joburg as well, I know a lot of times people sort of think that the restaurants are exhibiting all very high-class, snooty restaurants. But there's a nice selection of, and I don't want to say down market, but very casual and relaxed restaurants. I see we've got to Thai Four, who's really one of South Africa, well, one of Johannesburg, if not South Africa's best Thai restaurants to go to, but they're very relaxed and laid back.
Yeah.
They've also got beefcakes, and beefcakes has got such a quirky sense of humor that you see in their menu. I mean, basically, it's predominantly burgers and cocktails. I mean, you can't go wrong with that.
No, exactly. And you know, they've got the whole fun, sort of loads of music and lovely, pretty men in hardly any clothes. That's a very good thing to start with.
I mean, I could eat a burger of some of those men, but
exactly. And then, you know, you have sort of like Cucina di Ciro with friendly but slightly more upmarket Italian food, and then sort of like really maybe posh with Vivace from Radisson Blu and or the Grazing Room. You know, that's Lord Martinez Ferreira.
Yes.
But you know, then Tava's more sort of chilled out Indian, and Prosper sort of more. So I think you've got to do food for everyone, but the thing about it, it doesn't have to be fine dining. It has to just be really the best of its ilk, if you know what I mean.
Exactly.
Fine dining doesn't make something good. It just makes it sort of posh. But it's about being the best of its ilk.
I know. And also, it's not intimidating. So anybody could go and they'd actually find what appeals to them the most.
Yeah.
I almost liken Taste of Joburg to a wardrobe. You need your jeans, you need your tackies, but you also need a smart suit and you need something in between.
I'm liking that a lot.
I like that too. Well, we both used to write for Men's Health. You did the food, I did the fashion.
You see?
So, I mean, I always use a fashion metaphor to explain food, so maybe I went into the wrong industry. But I thought this is what Taste of Joburg is like. You'll get a couple of those restaurants that you get to sample, and you think, well, these are great places to go with my friends. You'll sample other restaurants, say, these are the great places that I take my in-laws if I'm going to propose to somebody special, and these are great restaurants if I want to take my boss out. So it gives you an idea of the opportunities and the options that are available to foodies in Johannesburg.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
So that's fun. I mean, there's a place for kids on Saturday and Sunday if you need that. There's loads of stunning booze and wine, obviously.
Yes.
You know, I mean, I do really think that there's, you know, there's stunning music. We've got live music. We've got it is a good day or night out. We've got the freshly blogged cook-off on the Thursday night, which is this huge blogger competition that Pick and Pay and Fresh Living have been doing, which has been sort of clogging the sort of airways of the digital space about trying to find the South America's top blogger. And an actual final takes place on Thursday night. So that's going to be quite a draw card and divine, because these people are fiercely competitive.
They are.
Yeah. So that's going to be interesting. Yeah, I'm feeling very amped for this show, I must say.
You're feeling amped? Amped?
Amped, amped. Amped, no. I'm hopefully not, but amped, hopefully I am.
Hopefully you are. Are you coming up for the show, by the way?
Of course, of course. Of course.
Oh, stunning. So we're going to meet each other in person, then I'll keep an eye open for you.
You do that. You do that.
Actually, one last question. What is Pick and Pay's interest in getting involved with Taste of Joburg?
Well, I think, you know, one, it's obviously a supermarket and it's all about food, but it's about showing the other kinds of side, the other side of food, that Pick and Pay isn't always just about your everyday baked beans and Omo, but they have a beautiful range of sort of finest products and beautiful fish and aged meat and sort of, so being associated with a show of this caliber within the foodie arena makes sense, because they weren't always necessarily aligned with that level of cuisine.
No, exactly. And actually, Pick and Pay have got their prestige range of various gourmet goodies that I actually like quite a treat. What I like to do, I mean, I'm actually a bit of a cheat, is I always steal with my eyes. So I love going to restaurants and seeing what are the contemporary, I don't want to say trendy, but the contemporary things that people are doing with food. And then I can, and ironically enough, I do pop into my local Pick and Pay, because I stay in Douglasdale. So we've got two Pick and Pays within 3 minutes drive from each other. I don't know how the two compete with each other, but we know that the one sells wine on a Sunday, probably when they shouldn't, and I shouldn't mention that on radio either.
No, you shouldn't. No. You'll run out of your sort of booze on your Sunday booze.
And that'll be shut down. So we've got two, and they're both fantastic Pick and Pays in Douglasdale. So we go to the one, we go to the other. And what I like to do is I like to pick up ingredients, and I like to copy restaurants or dishes that I've actually tasted in different places. Mm. And I've been to so many places recently. I don't know, this, I thought it was such an interesting combination. It was tomatoes and strawberries with balsamic vinegar. Literally, when you looked at it, it was this boring tomato onion dish. Mm. And when you bit into it, it had all the redness of the strawberries and the tomatoes. Made that myself and impressed everybody to death.
I'm sure.
And I said, where did you get that idea from? I said, no, just something I thought of. So I'm going to taste off Joburg to steal as many ideas as what I
That's
possibly
That's the idea, can. Darling. That is actually the idea.
Okay. And I believe you guys have very generously given us 20 double tickets.
You know, we're those kind of people.
I know, and I'm that kind of person that gets them as well. So if anybody would like to win double tickets, not singles, if you want to win double tickets to Taste of Joburg next weekend, pop onto my blog, soundbites.chamberlainbell.com, or you can retweet me on Twitter, at the word of Ed, or you can retweet at the word of Joburg. I'm going to double share all those links onto my blog and also onto Facebook page. But before we go, I want to thank Justine Drake so much for joining us. Always a pleasure chatting to you.
Always divine. Lovely. And I'll see you there.
You will. Actually, the scary thing is I know what you look like. I don't know if you know what I look like.
Well, so I'm sure I will. I'll Google you.
Okay, Google me, because otherwise it's going to feel like I'm stalking you. Okay. Well, I'll chat to you later.
Okay, darling.
Thanks, Justine.
Okay.
Bye. We're going to take a quick commercial break and we'll be right back.
If you want choice, meaning you can find spectacles you really like at the right price, come to Spectacle Warehouse at Hilfox Centre, Atterbury Value Mart and Centurion Lifestyle Centre. Park at our doorstep and step into the biggest selection of optical product under one roof, priced to suit every pocket, and we can make your spectacles the same day. Spectacle Warehouse. Unlimited choice.
Do you want to keep up to date with what's happening with Radio Today, Johannesburg? Have you always felt the urge to write on someone's wall but never quite dared? Now you can, and more, on Facebook. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/radiotodayjhb or on Twitter at Radio Today. That's the sign at Radio, numeral 2, day. Also follow our blog at radiotodayjohannesburg.blogspot.com. Radio Today, radio that delivers.
Plan your listening by visiting Radio Today's website at 1485.org.za and click on the Schedules link.
Welcome back to Soundbites with Edward Chamberlain Bell. We are chatting to Michael Gilman from Aerospeed Couriers, who's going to tell us, hey, he helped me so much bringing up my records from Johannesburg. But before I go into detail, welcome to the show, Michael.
Hi, thanks, Edward. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
No, it's a pleasure. And just let our listeners know that we're not being like, we don't have ulterior motives yet. Does your mother, who's also a co-host in the show, know that you're doing the show today?
I think she's got a good idea that I took time off from work.
Okay.
Decided to come in.
So mom's keeping tabs on you. Yeah. I was actually, because I didn't actually tell your mom you were coming onto the show, but Michael helped me bring up my records. This is going to date me a bit. Helped me bring up my long player vinyls from Port Elizabeth a while ago. What amazed me is how reliable the service was, but also how cheap it was, because it cost me, I think, 500 rand to bring up 20 kilograms of records. And these are records that have got great sentimental value to me, because I bought them before I was even a teenager. As a teenager and even in my early 20s, when I left Port Elizabeth, I just left them behind with friends. But interestingly enough, I noticed the other day that a big trend that is happening at the moment is vinyl sales have spiked 17% in the last 2 years. So clearly I'm on trend with the records. So thank you for bringing my records up.
No, that is true. Yeah, no, the thing is, you know what, I really appreciate that, and I'm glad that they all arrived intact and that you were able to, I suppose, the question that I'll ask you is, are you able to find a record player to play?
Actually, you know, for my 21st birthday, my grandparents gave me their record player and their amplifier. And I know it might sound old, but it's an antique. It was a Beer Master, so it was a very good make.
Yeah.
And they had had it since their first got married. So it's an antique record player. Well, it's not one of those kitschy antique.
Right.
It's an electric record player at the very least. So it's got great sentimental value. I will say this much. Some of my records were scratched, but I don't think that was the result of Aerospeed Couriers. I think that's the...
that's the nature of LPs.
That's a reckless six-year-old throwing me. I think my first record I got was ABBA's Greatest Hits Volume 2.
Right.
Which I think goes back to the 70s sometimes. So I've been collecting records for a long time.
Wow.
So I'm really glad I got my record player back, and I'm really glad that you're able to bring my records up here.
Good. I'm glad you're going to enjoy them.
Okay. First of all, what really impressed me is, A, it took 3 days to get 20 kilograms of records from Port Elizabeth to Johannesburg for about 500 Rand.
Right.
So it worked out a lot cheaper than what I realized, which then begs the question, why is it that so many courier companies are really charging a premium fee? And I'm not going to say they don't give a premium service, but they certainly are overcharging the public.
Right. Well, I think the main reason is I think that it's more a question of because they can charge than a question of I don't think the public are generally aware of what is actually out there. There's something like 500 to 1,000 courier companies that are operating in South Africa. Anything from a multinational courier company to a man with a bucky who thinks he can operate as a courier. So those are the kind of people. But I don't think the public is aware that it's so easy to get in touch. And we do a lot of advertising on AdWords, Google AdWords, which is quite effective.
I love Google AdWords.
And that actually accesses, it allows the individual person out there to contact a courier company like myself that has that offers a very personal service. And that's what we specialize in, giving our clients personal attention.
Hmm.
And that's what we've been doing for the last 19 years, since 1994, basically.
So a person's not just a tracking number, they're an actual person.
I always believe that we deal with people rather than corporations, and we deal with people rather than numbers. I agree with you there.
Mm. This is what I always find interesting, is when you're looking at some big companies and also some of the courier companies, is you don't have that personal touch. You do feel like you're basically unnumbering a bag.
Which
brings me to my next question. How did you get involved in the courier business?
Okay. Well, basically, in 1994, funnily enough, I actually wanted to get into broadcasting. So maybe I actually finally found my dream, you know.
Okay, well, you're not taking my place.
No, but seriously, on a serious note, I actually studied history and English, and I wanted to be a teacher, and then I decided it's not such a great idea in South Africa to be a male teacher because it's swamped mostly by females, and there aren't that many, so the opportunities weren't there. So we decided in 1994, because the post office was going through a bit of a downward spiral, we decided that there must be another alternative, and there were only the big courier companies. There were about three or four major big courier companies in South Africa. So we joined a franchise which actually allowed us to get into the courier game, and we tried to actually emulate the big courier companies by getting in as many vehicles, as many staff, etc., warehouses, etc. But after a while, I realized that it's better to join them than to try and beat them. So we made arrangements with all the different courier companies, and we were able to negotiate favorable rates for our clients. So we became like a travel agent for people's parcels.
Mm. And so that, you can actually negotiate the best rates with the best suppliers that you've got at your disposal.
Correct. Yeah, we actually look around. We often look around at which courier companies are best for each area. For example, one company might be able to deliver a parcel in London within 24 hours. Another company might take 48 hours. But we've now got a database of the various destinations and which courier companies are best able to service our clients. And so now, and not only from a service point of view, we're often able to negotiate a better rate than if the client went directly to a courier company instead of coming through us.
Mm. The one thing that scares me when I think, and especially when I think about bringing my records up, because I've never actually used a courier company before, is things tend to go missing in the mail. And I know, I mean, even a classic example is Amazon.com won't deliver to South Africa because they just had too many incidents of their parcels going missing. Right. And obviously, I'm not going to lie to our listeners because me and you and your mum have got the same surname, obviously. So, I mean, that's how I knew that you're in the Aerospeed business, you're in the courier business, and I helped you with your website. So I thought, okay, you're a friend, you're trustworthy, I can rely upon you. But honestly, business is business. I honestly thought you're going to charge me an arm and a leg to bring up my records, and I thought maybe I don't want my records that much. But 500 Rand to ship up 25 kilograms of records quite safely and securely, within three days, I mean, that was barely a waste. So what is it that you can actually do differently where other people are just losing parcels? I mean, it's no longer a joke. It's actually a cliche when you say the post office lost my parcels.
Correct. Well, a lot of people, essentially the difference between our courier service and others is that we operate on a quality as opposed to a quantity service. Many of the courier companies just want millions of parcels coming into their system, and then they think and less of those millions will actually get delivered, or many of those millions will get damaged. What we do is each and every parcel which we actually send for our clients, we follow it up from the time that the parcel is collected till the time it's delivered, and then we notify our clients via email that it's been delivered, that, for example, John Smith signed for your parcel at 10:30.
A nice one.
Which is something that none of the other courier companies actually do. You sometimes end up with a situation 5 weeks down the line where your parcel was supposed to be delivered. Meantime, it's sitting in some secretary's desk who didn't give it to the boss because she thought it wasn't important. But with our service, by notifying the client that the stuff has actually been delivered,
I've actually had that happen to me a couple of times. I've had things delivered. When I phone up a company, and like by the time I phone them, I'm usually quite irate. It's like, where's my parcel? And they say, oh, no, it was delivered. And I say, but who did you deliver it to? Oh, no, we just gave it to someone. Okay. And my main office where I work, I think we have a reception, and it's like just multiple offices everywhere. So you can't leave something at the door with the security guard. And I hate to say this, you think the security guard is the most trustworthy person, but a security guard is not a delivery boy.
That's
right. So he's not running up and down stairs to deliver parcels, and unless you know to go and collect it, you're not going to know about it either.
Correct.
So that's what I also enjoyed. It's like when you get that notification, it's been delivered and it's been signed, and when to expect it as well. You're in the perfect position to actually tell our listeners, because this is my big concern. In fact, I've stopped sending presents and gifts to family and loved ones, probably because I don't have that many family or loved ones left. But I've stopped sending presents, and I started sending e-vouchers, sending a gift voucher from an online shopping site that I might like, and then they can collect it themselves, or can choose something. But this is actually my pet hate for Christmas. I think there's nothing worse. There's nothing more impersonal than getting a shopping voucher, which basically says, don't have the time to find something, go pick it out yourself.
So
I've actually decided this Christmas I want to start sending not heavy things, but light things, something that is more personal that can actually get delivered.
Right.
So in terms of things that I think our listeners might be doing for Christmas, what would you recommend that they do to get the best service out of their courier company?
To get the best possible service out of your courier company, it all starts with the item that you're actually planning to send. Now, sometimes people don't realize that when you hand over a parcel to a courier company, it gets handled by as many as 20 to 30 people from the time it gets collected from you till the time it's delivered. And included in that are mechanized equipment, conveyor belts, etc.
Just interrupt you there. When you say up to about 20, 30 people, what sort of distance are we talking about? Like, say, Cape Town to Johannesburg?
Well, funny enough, the interesting thing is from a Cape Town to Johannesburg, you probably have about 10 to 15 people. If you're sending Cape Town to London, you'd probably have 20 to 30 people handling it. That ranges from customs officials to staff that collect items off the aircraft, etc. So my biggest piece of advice is that people should choose carefully the kind of item that they wish to courier. If they're going to courier a glass bowl with sweeties inside it or whatever, or chocolates, it's a very good idea to rather make sure that that item is very well packaged. Because we found over the 20 years now that I've been operating that the biggest issue with people's parcels is the fact that they don't really have a clue how to pack. And packaging is actually the key, because if your items are packed properly, you are less likely to have damage, and you're also less likely to have theft.
I think a lot of times people sort of try and cut corners when it comes to packaging because they think it's going to add extra bulk.
Correct.
They don't want to pay. But what's the point of actually paying to have a parcel delivered if it's going to arrive there broken?
Well, that I think you've hit the nail on the head. And I also think it's a lack of education that people don't realize that stuff has to be packaged. But it's quite simple. If you just go into any electronic shop, you're not going to collect your TV set just as with the TV set. It will be beautifully boxed in a polystyrene. You'll be able to transport it quite safely. But if you try to send your TV set, your home TV set, without doing any of that, you can almost be guaranteed that you're going to have a damage.
Mm.
But what we do differently at Aerospeed is also we don't allow our clients to send parcels that are not packed properly, because we always find out, we always inquire, we always establish what they're actually sending. And if they're sending anything fragile or valuable, we always make sure that the stuff is packaged before it leaves. Most of the other courier companies don't have the time, the energy, or the inclination. They just want the parcels in, and they don't care if some come out damaged. But we want to make sure that our clients are happy.
Well, in their defense, they offer you insurance. So if your packages do get delivered, they can guarantee delivery, but they can't guarantee that it won't be broken or damaged, in which case you claim from insurance, which they charge you for.
Yeah.
Actually, I think that is actually quite cool advice as well. There's a lot of times people just assume.
Yes.
And I'm thinking even a simple box of perfume that you might want to send your grandmother, your mother for Christmas, although it's in a box that the cosmetic company provided it in, it still needs to be packaged so that it doesn't get jostled about, shattered and broken.
Okay.
So I think there's nothing more disappointing than opening a present and find that it's broken.
Yeah, just on that point about perfumes, cosmetics, nail varnishes, etc. As you know, since 9/11, the airlines have become particularly strict with regard to security. You're only allowed certain amounts of liquid which can be transported. I don't know if you know the whole lag story, the liquid air gas. You know, when you go to...
I don't.
Okay, all right. Anyway, when you go into an airline, they always ask you, they tell you you're not allowed to take nail varnishes and matches and cigarettes and etc. on you know, in your luggage.
Anything that's flammable.
Anything that's flammable. And that's the thing. Perfumes, with regard to cosmetics, I would not recommend people sending perfumes, nail varnishes, etc., via a courier company, because the majority of parcels travel by air. So what will actually happen is that those parcels will get stopped, and then they won't reach the destination because they won't load them onto the aircraft. Those kind of items actually need to be packaged. They're actually known as dangerous goods, and as bizarre as it might sound, it's quite innocuous, an aftershave, but the alcohol in there, when it's subjected to different pressures in an aircraft, can explode.
Exactly. And I'm thinking even something as simple as a canned deodorant with different pressures, especially if you're going through air freight, you never know if it's going to explode or pop, anything along those lines. Actually, just quickly, what are the kind of things that you would recommend people don't send?
Okay. The kind of things that I recommend that they don't send off, I actually would recommend they don't send fragile items.
Mm.
Unless they're properly packaged,
okay.
Unless they're bought factory packaged, and the true test of an item that's been packaged is if you can take that box and you can drop it from 1 meter on the ground and it doesn't break.
Okay,
that's a very good test.
That's a very good test. I don't know. I suppose that's good advice to give our listeners, that if you are not prepared to take the risk yourself of packing something so securely that you can't drop it from a meter in your own home, then don't expect it to be able to go through a courier company. And not to disservice the industry, but a lot of times the guys don't actually have time to carry things as kid gloves. So there's boxes that are meant to be packed, they get packed. They're not going to be mollycoddled, for want of a better word. And then also in terms of cost, how do people actually,
reduce cost.
How do people actually save money when it comes to couriering things?
That's a very good... Okay, basically, there's a number of issues.
But that was my first concern.
Okay. Courier companies charge on the basis of an actual weight, which is the weight it weighs on a scale. They also charge on the basis of a volume weight. Essentially, the difference is that if you had a piece of lead and you put it on a scale and it was 1 kilogram of lead, it would be quite a small, compact item. But if you had 1,000 kilograms of feathers...
Mm.
They would take up an entire room or entire house. So you can understand it takes up a lot of space. So courier companies charge on actual weight or on the size of the parcel. So what I always recommend to people is not to send items that have a low value and are bulky.
Mm.
Rather send items that have a higher value or maybe even a more sentimental value and they weigh more.
Mm. It makes sense.
So, like, for example, a chocolate, you know, like a box of chocolates would be fine because that goes on weight. But if they're sending a mattress...
rather send the money and
Or a washing machine. Rather send the money. The point is basically that at the end of the day, it's the items should have a lower volume and a higher weight. That's how you'll generally save on cost. But another way of saving on cost is to plan. People generally do not plan. They don't. Everything is a last-minute crisis. Now, we know that Christmas...
Oh, you mean planning in terms of time?
In time, yeah. Because if you can save time, then you, A, won't be so stressed, but you'll be able to give it to the courier company 3-4 days before the item is due instead of giving it to the courier company the night before. It puts a lot of pressure on the courier company. It puts a lot of pressure on the person who's sending it. And... the savings are immense because generally items which travel on what we call economy service go by road.
Mm.
That's why I mentioned the packaging. It's so important that the packaging is done properly. But if it goes by road, you can sometimes save up to 60% of the cost of an air freight shipment.
Well, actually, I noticed you saved me over 1,000 rand in terms of the different. And for 1,000 rand, I could wait for my records to be delivered 2 days later. But for 1,000 rand, I can now go and buy myself 10 CDs as opposed to having to spend it on.
Correct.
Courier fees. Now you also do, I know Aerospeed also does local couriers and you also do international couriers.
Right, yes,
what are the logistics in terms of trying to get something out of the country? And I'm thinking specifically for our listeners just coming before Christmas time.
Right, okay.
Yeah. Are we going to have like this bottleneck over Christmas time?
Generally towards the festive season there is actually an increase in volumes. The volumes generally go up about 200% from between September and December.
Between
September and December, the volumes increased markedly because retail stores want stock, etc. Customers have their presents, they want them delivered. There's a whole lot of reasons that towards the end of the year, the volumes generally do pick up. But with regard to... Sorry, the question
I was just asking in terms of volume. It's like we start things in terms of... So if people want to start sending their courier... parcels now, they should actually start planning to do it now.
Correct.
Rather than leaving it too late over December.
Yeah, that's it. Because ultimately what happens is the country goes into, and most countries go into sort of a go slow between the 20th of December and about the 10th of January. So what, if you attempt to send stuff during that time frame, not only in South Africa, but worldwide, people celebrate a festive season. So it does tend to have an effect on deliveries.
And I think in America and the United Kingdom, they also celebrate Thanksgiving in November. So for them as well, their holiday is actually building up. I'm actually quite glad we don't have Thanksgiving in South Africa.
With regard to international shipments, all international shipments that leave South Africa, one must understand that when you leave a country, you have to have the correct paperwork. It also applies to your parcels as well. And this often causes delays with clients' parcels, is because they don't have the correct paperwork. They don't identify what's inside the parcel. They don't identify the value. Because one must remember that every parcel that leaves South Africa and going to a foreign destination will go into a foreign country's customs system. In the same way that as a passenger, if you arrived, you'd have to declare whatever valuable goods you had, etc.
They'd want to know what is in there for a start.
That's right.
And I suppose that's when it comes to insurance claims and things and along those lines, and also in terms of deliveries, best to be upfront with the courier company rather than to think, oh, let me lie about the weight, let me lie about the contents. Because in the long run, it's going to inconvenience you more than anything else.
Yeah, I mean, years ago, when we first started, we had a gentleman who decided he was going to send a teddy bear to Turkey.
Oh God! Well,
anyway, it was a very we were very naive and very silly. But I mean, I couldn't understand this man kept chasing us for the delivery. When is your parcel going to get delivered? It went on and on for about 10, and we were following up phone calls, etc. Anyway, it turned out it was going to Turkey, and the customs officials had seized this particular teddy bear because it was full of cocaine.
Ah, that explains it.
So the point is, this guy, and we were naive in those days because we even gave the guy a refund because we didn't realize, you know, which in retrospect was totally ridiculous.
You gave him a refund because he couldn't deliver his cocaine to Turkey. Well, that's the kind of service that we're looking for.
But on a lighter note, the point is that people misdeclare items they're sending by courier because they think, like, for example, they'll send a they're worried that if they put on their cell phone, it's going to get stolen.
Mm.
But then again, there's also other reasons that people will send money, and they'll write on the document that it's paper, which is true. It is paper. But what is the guy going to do when $20,000 are stolen?
Mm.
And he comes back to the courier company and says, I had $20,000. And so they're going to say to him, but you wrote on there that it was paper.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're actually doing yourself an injustice if you're not honest about declaring exactly what the items are. But a worst case scenario is if customs on the other side finds out that the item has got a misdeclaration, A, they may destroy it or confiscate it.
Ah. And I know there are a couple of things I was just discussing with friends of mine recently, especially as South African expatriates living overseas, is a lot of times friends in South Africa will take South African treats like whatever, Worcester sauce,
boerewors,
or things along those
right,
lines.
Okay.
And something as simple or as innocent as sending boerewors, whatever they call it overseas, or what's the word I'm looking for? Biltong.
Biltong, yeah.
Will actually get confiscated for various reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah. I suppose the best thing, if people want to know what to do, is to contact you directly. Although I helped you with your website, I can't remember what it's called. It's Aerospeed Couriers.
Yeah, that's right. It's Aerospeed Couriers. The website is actually www.aerospeed.co.za. That's the shortened version. We've got a couple of them.
Okay, so and is it co.com?
.co.za, yeah.
If you want to get hold of Michael Gilman from Aerospeed, you can always pop onto my blog, Soundbites with Edward Chamberlain Bell, and I'll share all the contact details and his website details there as well. Michael, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and I'm going to put you on the spot. Okay, we'll be right back.
There is a code of practice that governs advertising in South Africa, a code upheld by the Advertising Standards Authority. So if you see or hear an advertisement you consider misleading or dishonest, don't just cover your eyes or block your ears or keep quiet about it.
Write to the ASA at PO Box 41555, Craig Hall, 2024, or fax to 011-781-1616, or visit www.asasa.org.za.
Years ago, Johannesburg had an irresistible urge to build a stage and invite the whole world to perform on it. Do you remember your first Arts Alive? Johannesburg Arts Alive 2013 is full of surprises, packed with trusted regulars from theatre and dance to spoken word and music. Arts Alive International Festival is brought to you by the City of Johannesburg, stitching together a more integrated city, and is part of the city's 21 years of Arts Alive celebration. For more information, go to artsalive.co.za.
Hi, I'm Vanette Ibrahim, better known as Charmaine from Sevendalan, and you're listening to 1485 Radio Today.
Today, South Africans share their lives with you here on Radio Today.
Welcome back to Soundbites with Edward Chamberlain Bell on Radio Today, Johannesburg. We're chatting to Barbara Gilmer's son, Michael, who's just been telling us about the courier industry. But Michael, I believe, very much like your mother, you're also a bit of a foodie.
Yeah, no, food, I think food is what makes life. I think basically when you actually think about it, it's probably one of the great joys of life.
After alcohol.
Well, that's why you have to combine a good wine
with a good meal.
And a good meal. Because if you do one without the other, well, you know what happens.
You need the best of both. I've got tickets to Taste of Johannesburg if you want to go. So as a thank you for coming into the show, I'm going to give you two tickets to Taste of Johannesburg.
Oh, that's wonderful. I really appreciate that. Okay. Thank you.
And if any of our listeners would like to win tickets to Taste of Joburg next week, you can go onto my blog, like I mentioned today, soundbites.chamberlainbell.com. Actually, the only thing that I find, and not to be trashy, the only thing that I find with that word Joburg, I hate the word Joburg. I'm from Johannesburg, so I like the full name.
Yep.
So Taste of Johannesburg, I thought would have sounded so much nicer than Taste of Joburg. But I thought, never look a gift horse in the mouth. I think it's going to be a stunning expo.
Yeah, I'm almost sure that Joburg, as you say, I was taught by my English teacher in Standard 2 in those days, don't ever call it Joburg.
We were never allowed to call it Joburg. It had to be Johannesburg. And we've been spoiled for choice because last week there was a chocolate expo somewhere up in Sandton. I didn't get the details early enough to share it with the listeners. And then this weekend we have got the Good Food and Wine Show. And then next week we have Taste of Johannesburg. There are a couple of pop-up restaurants coming up. So I think it's all building up towards that hype when people start or when companies start planning end-of-year functions, people start deciding where they want to go.
Yeah,
and the one thing I find in Johannesburg, we certainly aren't starved for choice when it comes to going out to good restaurants.
That's for sure. Well, look, I basically, my style of a good restaurant is a place which isn't too flashy, and it's fairly inexpensive, and it's owner-run.
Mm.
From my experience, I've found generally those are the better places to go to. There is actually a place which I go to quite often. I don't know if you'd like me to mention.
Oh, no, please. Which one?
There's a place in Norwood which is run by a man. His name is Salvatore, and the restaurant is called Casa Nostra, which is an Italian restaurant in Norwood. Salvatore has been going probably for the last 25 years, and whenever I go into that restaurant, it's always, "Hello, how are you, Michael?" Greeting, friendly, thank you for coming. And when I leave there, he does something amazing. What he does is he always gives his clients a grappa. You don't order a grappa. It just arrives at the end of the meal. Thank you. I appreciate your business. That's the attitude. But because he's there all the time, the food is consistent. They serve the most unbelievable pizzas, and I think probably the best spaghetti bolognese that I've had in Johannesburg.
Oh, nice one. So it's like really simple dishes, but done really well.
Yes, and also not only that, the prices are very reasonable, because often you get restaurants where the prices are fairly high, and then you find that the food is actually very ordinary.
Mm.
You could have made it yourself in your own kitchen. But with Casa Nostra, I find that you go in there and it's almost like sitting in it's no fancy decor, but sitting like in someone's Italian house. It's like almost going into a house, sitting there. And there are other people around, but you feel like you're in some Italian mama's kitchen. And that's basically how I would describe his restaurant.
That actually sounds like a perfect description. What I loved at the beginning is when you mentioned is he greets you by name when you're walking through the door. That always makes one feel welcome.
Correct.
And when you mentioned it gives you, he gives all his guests a grappa at the end of a meal.
Yes.
And I often find it's those small little touches that a person appreciates more. Because one of my pet hates when you go to a restaurant and you ask them, okay, it's not that I want something for free, but if you ask them for, like, maybe mayonnaise,
yes,
and I'll charge you R2 or R5 for extra, I hate seeing extra, extra, extra.
Yeah.
It's not as I'm ordering something that is a delicacy or overpriced, I'm just asking for an extra.
And you're not
sauce.
Going to a delicatessen, you're not choosing this and that and the other, as you say, so why should you be paying extras for individual small items, condiments?
And we're talking about something that costs R5, so it's not, when you consider the restaurant's actually making R5 profit off your meal, I don't see what's such an imposition to ask for something extra.
Correct.
So I always find it's those little things that I actually find add greater value and gets you going back to them the next time. And then also you tell your friends.
Oh.
I also sometimes find, I mean, I enjoy all kinds of restaurants. I think I've even eaten burgers in the middle of Joburg CBD, where I just thought, you're in Jersey, you've got to have a burger.
Yeah.
So you may as well have a burger on the corner. I think my stomach rebelled for 2 days. But I thought it was an experience. And I find you go to a fine dining experience.
Right.
Which is nice. And I like it when they push boundaries.
Yes.
But sometimes you find you're actually not eating food. You're eating somebody's vanity, for want of a better word.
Yes.
And then you can find other restaurants that do the fine dining really well. But sometimes you also want something really homely.
Right.
And just something like a restaurant that feels like you've actually just left your own kitchen and gone somewhere else where it actually...
Well, a pet hate of mine is if I go into a restaurant and I order a meal and I have a cup of coffee and I ask for a glass of water. And I don't generally drink bottled water. I'm quite happy with the tap water. So
actually, I'm right with you on this one.
Yeah, and it drives me mad because there's an automatic assumption that you want a still or a sparkling water.
Mm.
And that's not what we want. We don't live in Europe. The water quality is fairly good. And it's not like I'm going into the restaurant and I'm just taking one glass of water and walking out. I mean, it should be part of the experience. But anyway, that's another thing at Casa Nostra, that the waiters, the waitresses are so clued up, and they move around and they revolve around the client. And that, to me, is... that's what makes it such a great dining experience.
Actually, just what you mentioned, actually, I'm going to share those details for Casa Nostra onto our Facebook page for any of our listeners that would like to, if they've got a website, we'll look it up. But the one thing that I found out as well, just as that water story, you go to a restaurant, and obviously it's a sales pitch, and I'm having a glass of wine or I'm having a fruit juice, so I don't think it's an imposition to ask for a glass of water.
Correct.
But my big thing is I don't like cold water, so I'm very happy with tap water. No ice. I always say it like in one sentence. No ice, no lemon.
That's
just
it.
A plain glass of water. Yeah. And if I were to buy bottled water, in, just for example, if I'm going to gym and I'm popping in a garage, I normally ask them, please give me a warm one. I don't want a cold one out of the fridge, so I know it's a bit of an inconvenience.
Right.
But we normally get there. I suppose this is where we've got to pose the question to our listeners. What are your pet hates when you go to a restaurant? And it can be the big things, or it can be the little things. Likewise, you can also pop into my blog, soundbites.chamberlainbell.com, and you can share your experiences over there. Otherwise, what you can do is join us on Twitter, at The Food Cops, or at The Word of Ed. And one last thing, I would just like to thank Michael Gilman for joining us on Soundbites, because I'm thinking Christmas is just around the corner. And I know that one of my pet hates as well is when all these supermarkets and retailers start punting Christmas so early. But I mean, it's coming out one of these days where a supermarket mall is going to start bringing out Christmas puddings and Jingle Bells is going to
in July
drive us over the wall. But I just think there's certain things that you can plan. And with that, on that note, I hope you enjoy your weekend, and I will chat to you again next week on Radio Today Johannesburg. Enjoy your weekend.
Want to know what to eat, where to go, and who to know in Johannesburg and all around? Then join us on Soundbites every Saturday, brought to you by The Food Cops on Radio Today.